I want to deal with a sensitive issue this morning, and I want to talk about dealing with false prophets and false prophecies. My text is 1 Corinthians 14 chapter, and when you get there, look at verse 39. It says, therefore, brethren, desire, watch this word, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. I want to address an issue today that has been under a lot of scrutiny and criticism over the past few months, and it's the issue of the prophetic ministry. Not since the scandals of the televangelists like Jim Baker and Jimmy Swaggart in the 1980s to the more recent failed prophecies of Donald Trump being the president in, this is 2020, and now the expose of men like Sean Bolts and Mike Bickle and a host of other lesser names, has the church, especially the Pentecostal and Charismatic Church, come under a barrage of criticism and scrutiny as well. I don't have all the answers, but I want to try and give you a response from a biblical point of view. The recent debacle centered around a prophet called Sean Bolts. And Sean first came to Cornerstone to speak in 2017. That same year, he also spoke at our Kingdom Invasion Conference. He impressed everyone with his so-called words of knowledge. He even called out an 8-digit phone number of one of my pastors in the meeting, and we found out later on that he acquired the number from a related source 3 days before the meeting started. And he wowed the crowds with his unusual gifting. Even I was caught up with the euphoria, I must say, when he called out my birthday, that and that information was readily available on my Facebook page. Shortly after, complaints started surfacing about a term called data mining, which is a term that's used to describe checking information on people on social media and then passing it out as a word of knowledge. Now, I want you to know that that is outright deception. I don't think he should ever preach ever again. But he made a small fortune selling his books and materials and, of course, online stuff. Now, Sean was also a predator, exposed himself and did shameful things in front of his employees and men he lived with. I won't go into that. That's not what we want to talk about today. But the disappointing thing in this whole saga was that for several years, the leaders in Bethel Church, a church that we love and respect, knew of the abuse and confronted him. He denied those allegations, but they did not do anything to warn the larger body of Christ. Sean still frequently ministered at Bethel and also the larger church in other places as well. Despite that, leaders knowing that he was a fraud and he was an abuser for about 5 years, until a man called Mike Winger exposed all of this on his YouTube program. The result was the church, especially the prophetic church, the prophetic world, took a beating, and people became very suspicious of prophecy and of things like the words of knowledge. That's the backstory. I'm not a judge, but I guess the fastest way for healing and reconciliation to take place is by acknowledging that maybe we made a mistake and by apologizing. I think humility is always the first good step. And I want to go on record to say that the leaders of Bethel Church apologized profusely. They apologized very sincerely. They did the right thing. We should forgive them and we should move on. Amen. Let the Lord heal the hurts. I also want to stand here and say that if anyone has been hurt by the spirit, by the gift of prophecy that's been abused by a prophet, I want to apologize to you, because many of these men were men that were connected to us and we brought them into Singapore. All right. But the reaction, let me just talk about this for a few moments. The reaction to this has been quite varied. Firstly, the credibility of prophets have been called into question. Some people are totally disregarding prophecy. I've got people writing to me, I don't want to have anything to do with prophecy. I don't want to have anything to do with prophets. They are hurt. They are offended. Be careful about an offended heart, because it is, as a pastor says, a breeding ground for deception. Now, some others are more skeptical. They are fence-sitters, and maybe rightly so, but they have not ruled out prophecy, all right? But some also want to learn from the mistakes, and because they believe that prophecies are true and valid for today, I think we should be in the third group of people. Amen. I stand here to declare to you that I believe in prophecy. I believe in the prophets, and so should you, and nothing should invalidate God's word. Amen. And this much I know, much of my life, much of my destiny has been shaped by the prophecies that I have received. And I can say the same thing about Cornerstone. We are very much where we are because of the grace of God that has come through the prophetic word to us. I love the prophetic. I grew up in a supercharged environment of the prophetic and the mystical. My spiritual father, Brother Bailey, was a prophet, a teacher, and also a little bit of a mystic. Marvelous experiences with God. And I take every prophetic word over my life seriously, and I journal my prophetic experiences. But I also want, on the same note, to warn you that a lying spirit has infiltrated and polluted segments of the body of Christ, and there must be a purging that's happening even right now as I speak. Now, the Apostle James rightly tells us that every good gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow or variation of turning. If the gift is good, it is from God. You understand? That's what James is saying. If it's good, it's from God. But every good gift also has a counterfeit gift. And just because there's a counterfeit does not mean we throw out the baby with the bathwater. And just because there are charlatans and just because there are fraudsters and scammers doesn't mean and doesn't negate the fact that there are genuine prophetic voices and we must recognize them. The Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. You take out the spirit of prophecy from a church, the church dies. I can tell you this. Or the church comes to a grinding halt. You take out the spirit of prophecy from the church, and we don't have the testimony of Jesus any longer. So Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19 to 21, do not quench the spirit, do not despise. My friends, don't despise prophecy. Test all things. Amen. Test all things. When you get a prophecy, learn to test it. Test all things and then hold fast to what is good. Now, while this issue is predominantly an American problem, you know, with the rise of social media and in the internet, it, you know, it's in every place the next day, all right? It has presented many lessons for us, and we can miss learning some of these important lessons about how prophecy functions if we are ignorant. So I would be doing you a disservice if I hid my head under the sand and not address this issue, because many people are concerned, obviously, by the emails that I've received. And some people have been hurt by prophecy. Cornerstone, after all, brought in people like Sean and Todd White, who's also under a lot of criticism right now, and Bill. And I want to stand here and just say that Pastor Bill Johnson has been a personally great blessing in my own life. I've had amazing experiences sitting in his meetings while he's speaking, and the Spirit of God coming upon me in a very unusual and powerful way. So I acknowledge that he has been used greatly by God to be a great blessing to my life. But a warning. If all that you're hearing is just a steady stream of prophetic voices, you're going to be very imbalanced, because the church is not just built on the foundation of prophets. It's also built on the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he split himself into five parts: apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, and he gave himself to the church. And there are five ministries in the church, not one. Not just the prophet. So if all you're feeding is prophet, 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 knowing that we are a non-profit organization, amen. Here's a word of advice. Change your diet. Change your diet. Because knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Make sure you have a balanced diet. Make sure you're listening not just to the prophet, but also to the apostolic voices, also to teachers who can build you up and teach you the word, also the pastors who care for you, and also to evangelists, amen. Every true prophet and every prophetic ministry ought to be subject to a pastor or an apostolic ministry. It's amazing. You meet all these people that come sometimes, you know, and by the way, we stopped inviting many of them, right? Because every time I invite somebody, all of you will scrutinize, go to the background, search if there's any problems, right? And I gotta tell you this, Brett, I'm just telling you this upfront, that, you know, we had to cancel several speakers in the last 2 months. Just because people were concerned and writing in, I said to myself, these are battles I don't want to fight. But I'm telling you this, if you want to find something bad about somebody in the internet, I guarantee you can find it, right? And we can't be canceling everybody just because there's something that they did 25 years ago. Come on. You know, every prophetic voice ought to be subject to an apostolic oversight. I want to say this because I met a lot of people. come to church, Cornerstone, right? I'm this, I'm that. Which church are you a part of? Oh, I don't go to church. What do you mean you don't go to church? What do you mean you don't go to church? It's like, you know, some people are just are sent, others just took a microphone and went, all right? I want to begin where Paul began in his teachings on spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. The early church had a running battle with ignorance. Each time Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, it's because they were ignorant. And whether it's Israel, or whether it's the resurrection, whether it's the second coming, or whether it's the role of women in the church is generally ignorant. And ignorance is not bliss, by the way, all right? God's people are destroyed by a lack of knowledge. There's a lot of ignorance concerning spiritual gifts, especially the prophetic, and that's why Paul devoted three chapters of the book of 1 Corinthians to deal with the subject. Now, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, let's settle this once and for all. The gift of prophecy is the principal gift in the church according to the Apostle Paul. And the most important thing that we need to understand in the New Testament church about prophecy is in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. There's not a single person in this room today that has a monopoly on knowledge. Amen. All of us together, coming together in unity. You bring your part, I bring my part. Together we see the bigger part. Amen. A prophet sees in part, another prophet sees in part. And when another prophet sees in part and we come together in unity, we start to see with greater clarity. And the moment you think that you know it all, you're in danger of falling. God has placed the body of Christ in such a way that the prophetic voices that one sees, one hears, but in coming together in unity and humility, all those pieces coming together we'll see with a far greater clarity. Also, when you hear a New Testament prophet speak, you should hear a pre-Calvary voice, not a post. You should not hear a pre-Calvary voice, but a post-resurrection voice. Amen. What do I mean by that? Well, it should be a voice that should open you up to the favor of God, to the grace of God. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law came through Moses, and it cannot save anybody, by the way. But grace and truth came by Jesus. It should exhort, it should edify, it should comfort and not condemn. And it should prepare you to overcome obstacles in your life. Amen. Another thing that we need to understand is almost all the prophecies in the Bible are conditional. There are prophecies where God says are non-negotiable. For example, he said every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord in heaven, on earth, under the heaven, and that's not up for negotiation. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And that's not up for negotiation. Jesus will come back again. How many of you believe that? That's not up for negotiation, by the way. It's going to happen whether you like it or not. And he's going to come back to Jerusalem and he's going to reign in Jerusalem and rule for 1,000 years. You like it or not, it doesn't matter. Those things are non-negotiable. God has said it. It will happen. But many of the prophecies in the Bible are conditional. It means that it requires our part to play in the fulfillment of those prophecies. Prophecies are like scriptural promises. They're conditional, which is why one should never, when giving a prophecy, make a guarantee. You know, I've heard people say, you know, if you do this, I guarantee you. You're in no position to guarantee anything, all right? So let's not do that. It's silly to say, I guarantee this is going to happen. I know many prophets are very, intense, passionate. We sometimes say things that go beyond what God is saying, and that is called presumption, by the way. Most prophecies are not guaranteed, but they are conditional to our cooperation. And the way that we do it is by praying over the word, or maybe decreeing over the word, and make sure that there's no unbelief, because our unbelief can stop the word from coming to pass, all right? It can abort the word. If you remember, there was a man in the Bible, his name was Zacharias. The angel of the Lord comes to him, says, you're going to have a son. And he says, I don't think that's possible. Unbelief. And the angel zipped his mouth for 9 months so that he could not talk and abort the word that was going to come forth. Amen. Now, when a prophetic word is given, it gives us a little peek into the heart of God, because prophecy, in a way, is a declaration of God's will and his intent, and we understand what God desires when a true word is released. It's also true that God's will is not always done, which is why Jesus told us to pray, thy will be done. Why? Because his will is not always done. So For instance, it's not the will of God that any should perish, but we know that every day people do perish and go to hell. And so human cooperation is oftentimes necessary in the process. Now, a big part of prophecy is to understand his ways. It's to understand the principles by which he operates. And one of the principles is this, that God reserves the right to change his mind. Let me just say this. God reserves the right to change his mind. The story of Jonah is an excellent story to explain this. Nineveh was the greatest city in the ancient world. And it was an evil city. And the Lord sent the prophet Jonah to prophesy to the city. And the prophecy was this. In 40 days, I will overthrow the city. It took him 3 days to walk the length. And it was a huge city, very large city. And he walked the length and breadth of the city and he prophesied. In 40 days, God says, I will overthrow the city. I want you to notice, God never said, if you repent, I will spare the city. He just said, in 40 days, this city is toast. I'm going to destroy this evil city. That's all he said. The people heard it. When message went up all the way to the king, from king all the way down to the lowest slave, everyone repented in sackcloth. And when God saw the repentance, the Bible says he relented. He changed his mind, hallelujah. An entire city repented at the preaching of Jonah. And I am telling you this, my friends, the day is going to come where we're going to see the greatest preaching, anointing preaching that the world has ever seen before. It's the preaching of Jonah. And we are going to see entire cities come to salvation by the anointing of the preach word. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the key in reaching cities in the last days. When Nineveh repented, God relented. That's staggering to think that God would change his mind. And you know, when God changes his mind about a prophecy, guess what it does? It makes the prophet look really silly. Because the prophet just prophesied. God says, I'm going to destroy the city. And then God changes his mind and God says, no, I don't think I'm going to destroy the city now. They're repenting. It makes the prophet look silly, but it doesn't. The prophet must not be concerned whether he's silly or not. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophet's job is to declare the word in the way that the word was given to him, in the spirit in which it was given. In other words, if God is not angry, then you cannot be angry. Yesterday, you know, parents came up to me. They said, this is my son. He loves your preaching, but he says, why is Pastor Young always angry? I'm not angry. I'm just passionate. I feel the heart of God. If the Lord is compassionate, then you have to express that compassion as well. The point is, if you know God's ways and if you understand it, his will is always to show mercy. Amen. Another illustration of this is Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah was told by the Lord to go to the potter's house. As he arrived, he saw the potter working on a wheel and working on a vessel. And the vessel was marred, so he fashioned a brand new one. And the Lord said to Jeremiah in chapter 18, he said, the instant I speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom, to pluck it down, pull down, and to destroy, if that nation relents, returns from its evil, I will relent from the disaster that I thought to bring on it, and vice versa. Right? Do you understand this? Okay, God reserves the right to change his mind. The job of the Old Testament, of a prophet really, is to deliver the prophecy in the same tone and the same emotion in which the message was received. That's the role of the prophetic man, and the job of the people is to receive the prophetic word in the like manner. Amen. Now, yesterday after preaching this, someone came up to me and said, Pastor Young, we need to have some guardrails with regards to prophecy in the church. And I do agree with that, and I think that one of the big guardrails that we need to establish here in Cornerstone is the whole issue of marriage. The most important decision a person has to make outside of salvation, in my opinion, is the person you marry, because the person you marry can break you or make you or take half of your assets away from you. I heard a funny illustration on social media on this. The preacher said this. He said, marry the wrong person and every day is Halloween. Marry a lazy person, every day is Labor Day. Marry a rich person every day is New Year's Day. Marry a generous person every day is Thanksgiving. Marry an immature person every day is Children's Day. Marry a liar every day is April Fool's Day. Marry the right person every day is Valentine's Day. If you don't get married, every day is Independence Day. Come on. You get what you choose, ladies and gentlemen. One of the things that we must be very careful here in Cornerstone is you never let somebody manipulate you with a prophecy. Ladies, don't you ever believe a man who comes to you and says, you know, I've been praying for you and the Lord says, you're going to be my wife. Give him one slap, all right? You have my full permission to do that, all right? Don't you get manipulated by anyone who would do that, because God will not do that. God will parade the person in front of you, but God will never force you. Everything has been made by... If God made you do that, then if the marriage goes bad, guess who gets the blame? Who gets the blame? It's your fault. You gave her to me, you know, and so the Lord would never do that. Even in the case of Eve, he brought the woman to the man. He brought her to the man. Some of you have funny ideas. Some of you ladies have funny ideas. You want a prophetic word about your husband. God told me that you should marry. Don't fall for that lie, ladies and gentlemen. Please, you got to be careful. The late Kenneth Hagin used to say, in all my years of ministry, I've never ever heard God say to me who should marry who. But in all those years of ministry, I've heard God say to me many times who should not marry who. Amen. And there's a difference between a prophet, by the way, someone, the moment you call yourself, I'm a prophet, immediately the standards go up. Amen. It's different from a member of the church giving you a word of prophecy. Amen. And sometimes people do give me the word of prophecy. It doesn't come to pass. I'm not offended. I'm not hurt. It's okay. I mean, people make mistakes. They're doing their best. They're trying. Amen. Sometimes I give people prophecies and, you know, only once or twice doesn't come to pass. And I apologize. It's my responsibility to go to the person and say, hey, you know, I remember I gave you a word. Didn't come to pass. I'm sorry about that. I made a mistake. I thought it was the word of the Lord. And we need to just have the humility to do that. Come on. Amen. And that's how we can get healed. Amen. That's how trust is fostered and built here in the church. But I will not give you a directional word. For instance, if you come to me and says, Pastor, the Lord, there's an open door for me to go to Ukraine. And, you know, you got to have a word for the Lord for that. Amen. And you know, sometimes, listen, I love, there are many businesses here in Cornerstone. I know you set your such businesses and all that. Many times you call my pastors to go. Now, the pastors, they go and I don't go to all. You know, sometimes they say, Pastor, can you come and bless my business? I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Because if the business goes down because of your laziness and whatever, you're going to blame me. You say, Pastor, you prayed for me and now my business is like that. So don't ask me to bless your business. You ask the Lord to bless your business and you make sure you are righteous with your hands. Amen. And you're hardworking. And if you're hardworking and you do what is right in the eyes of God, I don't see any reason why the Lord will not bless you. Amen. But don't you practice all these ungodly practices and then ask the pastor to come and then anything goes wrong, you blame the pastor. God's watching you, I tell you this. Amen. Now, sometimes God gives a word. Like I said, he reserves his right to change his mind. But sometimes sin can nullify the word as well. All right, God gives you a word and then, you know, you live in rebellion and sin. Or you make the word of none effect. Sometimes our tradition can do that. Our traditional thinking. You know, the word of God is the greatest and most powerful thing in the world, right? And yet there's something greater than the word of God. Something that can actually nullify the word of God. Jesus told us what it is. He says, your traditions nullified my word. Wow. Your traditions. And now it means our traditional thinking can actually nullify and bring the word of God to naught. Unbelief can nullify God's word and cause it to and cause it from coming to pass. A whole generation of the children of Israel failed to make it into the promised land because of unbelief. Unbelief. Doubt can also cause the prophetic word from being delayed. Satan can also hinder a word. You say, where is that in the Bible? The Bible tells us that Paul planned to go to Thessalonica, but Satan hindered him in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 8. He says, Satan hindered me. The word hindered is to put a roadblock. And I just want to tell you that if there's a roadblock in front of you, it means that God has given you the authority to remove the roadblock. But sometimes Satan does hinder us. And if Satan can hinder an apostle, he can also hinder you. I want to close with this story. And I want to just say that Cornerstone carries the prophetic flag here in Singapore, honestly. We just had an event, a festival of praise, phenomenal time. But this year in the early morning, the morning sessions, the attendance dropped quite a bit. And the Pastor Andrew has explained to me, he said, you know, Pastor Young, just before the conference, a lot of people was going to come, but the churches banned them from coming. And I said, why? They said, because of Sean Bowles, because of the things that's happening in the prophetic. They said, oh, we're scared of these things. We don't want these things. We don't want our young people to be exposed to the prophetic. And they missed the blessing. But the fear is real and the fear is tangible. And I understand this. And so we saw a little drop in the attendance in Festival Praise. But it's okay. That was an amazing meeting. The night meetings were jam-packed with people. So I'm just saying that sometimes a wrong reaction, we can react to it wrongly. And, you know, instead of being like the Bereans, you know, to test the word, we completely shut off the prophetic. And you do that, you're going to shut off the promises and blessings of God in the church. So I want to say that Cornerstone carries the flag for the prophetic in the church. I mean, we're the only church that, well, we're one of the few churches that bring in a lot of these prophetic voices. And so we have to be careful. I have to be very careful who stands here at the pulpit. This month we canceled 2 speakers already. Now, every time I invite somebody, well, I tell you, all the church members start Googling, you know. And so I don't know what to do anymore. I mean, in a sense, like, is there anybody else? I mean, listen, if you want to find dirt on someone, you guarantee this, you'll find some dirt, all right? But if you want to find Jesus in a person, you can also find him, amen. I'm just asking you, Cornerstone, we are prophetic people. That simply means we have to have a bit more grace, amen. We have to have a bit. You can't penalize somebody for something he did 25 years ago and up till today he's still paying us for his sins, for something that he did 25 years ago, which he fully repented and fully restored, and now we are punishing the man 25 years later. That's wrong. So wrong. And this cancel culture has to be canceled. Amen. I cancel you, cancel culture. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to cancel that. It's a very bad spirit. I think it grieves the Lord, honestly. You know, the Lord himself said, and I don't like to use this as a cliche, as a sort of a defense mechanism, he that is without sin cast the first stone. But it is true, all right? You got to be careful. And you said, why, Pastor, should I be careful? Because on the day of judgment, when you stand before the Lord, the very standard that you use to judge all these people, God is going to use the same judgment to judge you. And you got no defense at all. You said, but, you said, no, that's how you judge people, and that's how I'm gonna judge you. Same, it's fair, it's fair. And so I wanna just encourage you, you know, in your home cell groups, when you get together at lunch today, don't just gossip about people, you know, and you cause, sometimes it can go out of the grace of God, and it becomes gossip, and then it becomes very poisonous, and you hurt people's reputation. Amen. So you just got to learn how to sometimes. I had to learn it the hard way many times, zipping my mouth. Once, this is many years, about 20 years ago, at least 20 years ago, somebody wrote to me and says, Pastor Young, what do you think of this pastor? And I criticized the pastor and I sent the message back. But instead of sending a message back to the person who asked me, I sent it to the pastor I criticized. Yeah. And then I had to, you know, damage control, write to him, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. He said, I forgive you. And then to make matters worse, I sent him a gift from, you know, one of these beautiful fruit baskets. And the company that was supposed to send the fruit basket sent a box of baby diapers as a way of saying, you are so immature in the thinking. And he wrote to me, he says, Pastor, I received this box of baby diapers. What's the message here? All that to say, the Lord says, you better learn to shut your mouth. Yes. True? Yes. Don't criticize. You criticize, I'll embarrass you. Yeah. One last story and I'll close. There was a king in the Bible. His name was Ahab. Very bad king, very wicked king. There was a prophet. Only the one true prophet in his whole kingdom. His name was Micaiah. And he hated this prophet because the prophet always spoke against him, prophesied against him. So he wanted another king to fight a battle. He wanted to invade Syria. He wanted another king to fight the battle with him. And so he calls in Jehoshaphat. He says, join with me. And Jehoshaphat said, I'm with you. So he said, we need a prophetic word. So 400 prophets gathered and they prophesied to these two kings. And they all said, go and fight. God's going to give you the land of Syria. Woo! And everybody was so excited. Everybody was jumping and high-fiving everybody. And Jehoshaphat, for some reason, didn't feel comfortable. He said, is there maybe one other prophet that we can listen to? And Ahab said, yeah, there's one more guy. His name is Micaiah. I put him in prison. He's a horrible guy. I don't like him. And no, let's bring him up. So they bring him up and they said to him, oh, everybody's saying the same thing. Make sure you say the same thing as all the prophets. And Micaiah says, I'll say what the Lord tells me to say. So he comes in the presence of these two kings. And this is what Micaiah said. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by on the right hand and on the left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may befall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, one spoke in another manner, and a spirit came forth and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. The Lord says, in what way? He says, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you will persuade him and you shall prevail. Go and do so. And look, this 400 prophets all speaking by a lying spirit. Remember one time a man was trying to cast out a demon, and he said to the demon, what's your name? And the demon said, my name is lying spirit. He says, lying spirit, are you telling me the truth? So 400 prophets in front of two kings, all of them prophesying by a lying spirit. And here is Micaiah, and he says, I see the Lord. And he puts a lying spirit. My goodness, wow. 400 lying spirits in the mouth of the prophets. And ladies and gentlemen, I say all of that to say that this is probably one of the most intriguing stories in the entire Bible. That the God of the universe would condescend and bring this creation before him and ask for counsel from his creation as if he did not know what to do. He is always trying to get us involved in the process. He can speak to us and write the names Jesus Christ is Lord over the stars of heaven so that all of us would come to repentance. He doesn't do it that way. He always works through the human cooperation. He wants to cooperate with his redeemed to share the gospel and share his love. And so here it's very important that the prophet of God must not be swayed by what everyone is saying. Listen, sometimes it's better to walk alone in the right direction than to walk in a crowd going in the wrong direction. Come on, someone say amen. And finally, it's important in the church to have something called peer review. Not just peer pressure, but in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 29, let two or three prophets speak and let others judge. This is peer review and it's encouraged and it is needed. When a prophetic word is given, I think it's important for all of us to judge the prophetic word. Amen. Because deception is the devil's most formidable weapon and discernment is the church's most formidable defense. Growing in our understanding, growing in our discernment is the way we protect ourselves from false prophets. Amen. I want you to be patient as well here in Cornerstone because we won't get it right all the time. And sometimes we might bring a speaker in and, you know, we're very careful. We vet them very carefully. But, you know, these speakers that we bring in is the people that we know and people have a track record. And, you know, it's our responsibility to make sure and ensure that whoever speaks at this pulpit carries the spirit of God and carries the spirit of love. Amen. But there are times that we might bring in someone and you and we might miss out something and, you know, and there's criticism. I'm asking you to err on the side of mercy. Please, I ask you, let Cornerstone be a merciful church. Amen. Let's be a gracious church. We're not going to put anything and sweep everything under the carpet. No, sir, we're not going to do that. But I think that we have to be very careful because people have been hurt in this church through prophecy. You know, that guy that didn't live right and then he laid hands on me and prophesied over me. And I don't want to name names and you know who they are. And, you know, and sometimes we carry that pain. And I pray that the Lord would heal you today. I really do. I pray that the Lord would heal you and that you would forgive and move on. And if you would do that, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray that God would cover you and protect you. Would we all stand in the presence of God, please? I said things in the first service that I can't say in the second service because this is live stream. But I want to be very, very careful about pointing fingers and mentioning names because people hear these things and I don't want to stumble anyone. But I want to just pray today that if you've been heard by someone who called himself or herself a prophet or a prophetess, and the word, came to you, and Sean Bowles prophesied, I don't know if I told you this, but prophesied over a girl and that she should be married to this guy, and for 4 years it was living hell, and he beat her up and almost strangled her to death, and she won't give up on a marriage because she had a prophetic word, and she said, but God gave me that word. It wasn't a word from the Lord. Just wasn't a word from the Lord. And sometimes, because we so respect the word of God and we hold fast the word of God, we suffer because it is a false prophecy. And that's why we must be careful in this church when we have a prophecy that is about a life decision, like a life partner. Got to be careful about these things, my brothers and sisters. You've got to seek the face of God. You've got to cry out to God yourself. You've got to say, God, speak to me. Don't just come to the pastors and say, do you have a word? Every Sunday, people come up to me, Pastor Young, I need a word. I have a word for you. Go and read the Bible. Amen. It's the word of God. Amen. You read the word for yourself. Grow in the word. Grow deep. Grow in discernment. God wants to speak to you. I'm not your redeemer. I'm not your advocate. I'm not your, you don't have to come through the pastor to go to Jesus. You can go straight to Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's really important. That's New Testament. Old Testament, you go to the prophet. You go to the priest. In the New Testament, you go to the high priest directly. Amen. His name is Jesus. He's our advocate. Hallelujah. That's the difference between the new and the old covenant. Come on. Shakarabahaya ramondai. Lord, for all intents and purposes, we stand before you today, and we know that you have put the flag of prophecy in this house, Lord. That over the years, our lives and our destiny as a church has been shaped by prophets and prophetesses, Lord, who have spoken into our lives. The majority of them genuine, solid, good. Lord, we've had one or two were questionable, Lord. We had one or two that were not living right, Lord. We knew who they were, and later on after the fact, Lord, and we had to undo some of these things, Lord. But I'm asking you for forgiveness, Lord, for the mistakes that we've made, for maybe one or the two of the people that we've invited that we should not have invited, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you'd give us wisdom in the years ahead, Lord, that everyone that is here in Cornerstone speaking is someone sent by you, Lord. And if we receive someone who is sent by you, then we receive the reward as well. If we receive the reward, if we receive the past, the prophet in your name, Lord, we receive the prophet's reward. Hallelujah, which is prophetic revelation. And so, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you will protect Cornerstone from false prophecies. You will protect this house from false prophets. You will protect this house from false voices in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh God, that you would protect this house, Lord, from those who would try to harm it, Lord, by inflating the people, Lord, by speaking words prosperity and covetousness, Lord, and we break that in Jesus' name, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that the people here will love and receive the engrafted word of God. Amen.
You know, the word of the Lord says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I just want to add on to what Pastor said, because we are having this school of evangelism, and we are also having a segment called the prophetic evangelism. And so there is the aspect of the prophetic word coming in. The whole direction is this, that God is going to give you a prophetic unction. And when you are directed towards that path, you are bringing a word of redemption and possibly restoration. And when that word is released, it opens up the way for them to be freed from their past, from bondage, and to walk in alignment to know Christ. That is the key, to know Christ. And that's what it is all about, to know Christ. And every time a prophetic word is given, it's so that you would know Christ. And because you know Christ, you walk towards Him, you find more answers. That is the key. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that prophetic unction must be weighed down by the Spirit of God, not by the flesh. And where the Spirit of God is the Spirit of prophecy, the Spirit of Jesus. What does it do? It points you to Jesus. And, you know, we must bear that in mind. It's not for you. It's not for the self. But when you know Christ, the intimacy comes. Father, bless this church. Bless us to know You. Bless us to hear Your voice, Lord, to discern, Lord. And if we cannot, because we are young, Lord, give us, Lord, that hunger to know in Jesus' name.
One last thing I want to just say. Paul says that whenever we come together and that there's prophecy in the house, it says the uninformed person walking in will hear the prophetic word. And the Bible says when the secrets of his hearts are revealed. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. It's not the sins of his heart. It's the secrets of his heart. The Lord doesn't expose sins, you know, people, and say so and so here. God says you're an adulterer. God's not going to do that. If you deal with it privately, God of course will not deal with it publicly. But the Lord doesn't do that. Do you understand? It's the secrets of the heart. It's something that you maybe said in your prayer closet the night before, and then the Lord says that this is what you said when you were in your secret closet, something, and then suddenly you realize He knows the secrets of my heart and He loves me, cares for me. So important for us to understand that the Spirit of prophecy paves the way for life to come. So Lord, bless Your people with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. Let us be truly a prophetic people, a people that love the Word of God, a people that are growing like the Bereans. We will search the Word and we will go deep as a people, Lord. We will do the deep seek, Lord, when it comes to the Word of God. We will learn to search the Word and the Bible and be students of the Word. Lord, I thank You that discernment is the protection from deception that is coming. Lord, protect this house. Give us great discernment. Give us great wisdom. Lord, for all the mistakes we have made, Lord, forgive us, Lord, and wash us with the blood of Jesus Christ. We honor the prophetic in this house. We honor the Holy Spirit in this house. And we give You all the praise and all the glory. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and grant you His peace, and so may God put His name upon you now and forevermore. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God a big praise.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.